Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
And reviews of everything that goes bump in the night. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twilight Blood Episode 2. My name is John Moore. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started with the week's news. Looks like there's a trailer for George Romero's next movie out on the web. From the poster I saw, it looks like the title is ... of the Dead, and it poses the question, can the living and the dead coexist? I thought we resolved that a few Romero movies ago. No. More new pics and more information on Sam Raimi's new horror movie. He wrote the script shortly after completing Army of Darkness, so it's been in the cooker for a while. The story involves a gypsy curse and a demon called the Lamia. I've heard of the Lamia. It's from Greek myth, so it's an older monster. Josh Whedon's new horror movie rolls in March. It's called Cabin in the Woods. No other word on that yet. The After Dark Horror Fest started on January 9th, which was a few days before the release of this show. It'll show up on DVD in March, so we can look forward to that. Tweeny Vampires Can Feed Their Jones with the Twilight DVD on March 21st. It has 12 deleted scenes, featurettes, a music video. What's up with that? The special edition, or there's several special editions, I guess, including a two-disc set. Ghostbusters will be remastered and released on Blu-ray and DVD on June 16th. Whole bunch of extra features on the Blu-ray. Ghostbusters is a kick-ass flick, so we're looking forward to that. After Dark Films is developing Anita Blake Vampire Hunter. Word is out that Courtney Solomon, the boss of After Dark, is working on a movie based on the Anita Blake books by Laurel Hamilton. Think Twilight with fucking. The remake of Fright Night has been flushed. Who wanted to see a remake of Fright Night anyway? Raise your hands. If you raised your hand, you're a moron. Fright Night is a kind of movie that doesn't need a remake. No remake would be as good as the original. Think about King Kong. 80 years ago, the original was made, and none of the remakes have been as good as the original. Well, good news. The Fright Night remake is dead. For now. Kate Beckinsale is set to appear in Underworld 3 in repurposed footage from the original Underworld. This, boys and girls, is what we call getting fucked without lube. Nana Visitor is playing Jason's mom in Friday the 13th. She always seems so nice in Deep Space Nine. Did you hear about Danny Boyle directing Aliens 4? If that happened, Aliens 4 wouldn't suck. Unfortunately, Danny's quote says, "Oh my God, that one." Very close, actually. In fact, I met Sigourney in Winona. Name dropper. Which was a great pleasure. Had chips. French fries, I should say, with Winona. But I backed out of it. I was terrified of the special effects. I saw Sam Raimi's new TV show, 13 is Real, this week. It's a reality show on the CW television network. That is the WB, for those of you who don't know how they changed their name. Anyway, in this show, 13 bozos, contestants, are dropped off in the bayou to face some horror film-style nastiness. The contestants are your standard, typical reality show contestants. Blonde model, black guy, black chick, Asian chick, Mohawk dude. In episode 1, they face being kidnapped in the woods and then being buried alive. At the end of each episode, one contestant dies, and one contestant has the chance during the course of the season to ally him or herself with the bad guy, a disembodied voice called Slaughterhorn. They do that by stealing the death box out from under the noses of their competitors. For some reason, Asian chick steals the death box and then decides to return it. She manages to do both without being caught by the other dim bulbs that she's competing against. In the end of this episode, hot blonde model is the contestant who dies. Fear not, though. All the chicks here are pretty damn hot. Now, let's relax to the soothing sounds of Face Down Presley.
Girl, I've been dying to get a lap dance with you.
You know you want to watch. January must be zombie month because we're following last week's review of Day of the Dead with zombie strippers.
But what about the girls, huh? They're good girls.
They're zombies.
No. They're strippers.
They're zombies.
I was ready to hate this flick. I'd heard horrible things about it, and coming off of last week's Day of the Dead remake, my expectations weren't high. And that was a good thing, because Zombie Strippers is not a good movie. It is, however, a fun movie. The film opens with a news montage explaining that it's set in the near future where the Bush administration has been elected to a fourth term, shut down the U.S. Congress, instituted a ban on nudity, and is embroiled in a war with France, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, Venezuela, Canada, and an independent Alaska. To support the war effort, a secret laboratory in Nebraska has developed a virus to reanimate dead Marines and send them back into battle. However, the virus is broken out of containment, and infected test subjects and scientists are at risk of escaping the lab. A military team codenamed the Z-Squad is sent in to destroy the zombies, but one of the Marines named Bird Flu, spelled B-Y-R-D-F-L-O-U-G-H, is bitten and escapes. The infected Marine ends up in an alley outside an underground strip club called Rhino. The Marine dies, and when he awakes as a zombie, he goes into Rhino. Rhino is run by Robert Englund, and Robert Englund's character is named Ian Esko. there's a new stripper there named Jessie, who's just, she wants to make up enough money to pay for her grandmother's colostomy bag. When she's there, she meets the club star dancer, who is Jenna Jameson. And Jenna Jameson is playing a stripper named Kat. Kat starts to dance on her on the stage and does a pretty good job of it, which is not surprising, I suppose. Then she's attacked by bird flu, who ends up biting her and infecting her. Esco is concerned about losing his best dancer, so he lets her go back on stage as a zombie. And to everyone's surprise, Kat is a better and more popular stripper as a zombie than she was as a person. So now the other zombies are kind of faced with the prospect of losing their customers to the zombie stripper. One by one, the strippers decide to become zombies. And during the private lap dances, the zombie strippers bite and kill their customers. And that's when Esco and his helpers jump in and they keep the zombies hidden in a cage in the cellar of the club. Now, why there is a cage with bars in the cellar, I don't know. However, I was once in a strip club that had a cage where you could pay extra money to be locked up in a cage with a stripper. But that's another story, and we probably shouldn't talk about what happened there. So, in the meantime, the strippers are fighting each other for supremacy. She ends up going up against one of the other strippers who's recently been converted. At least Kat, Jenna Jameson's character, does. And this is a hilarious strip-off fight where Kat ends up shooting ping pong balls and then billiard balls out of her vagina at her enemy. Hilarious. Hilarious. Gross, sick, nasty, and very funny. The Z-Squad bursts in to destroy the zombies, but in the end they find out the zombies were allowed to escape by the Bush administration, who hoped that the zombie plague would distract everybody from how bad everything was going. What makes Zombie Stripper so much fun? Well, mainly Robert Englund. He chews up the scenery in this movie and offers the best performance in the movie. Now, Jenna Jameson does a pretty good job as the main zombie stripper. However, it's not surprising. I mean, you know, that probably is Jenna Jameson playing Jenna Jameson, actually. The other thing is, and there's a lot of boobs in this movie, some good gore effects, heads do roll. I suggest you check Zombie Strippers out. If you haven't done so yet, I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have fun watching this movie. So I recommend it. I think you should get it and check it out.
You have to be a warrior, a soldier, fearless, uninhibited, a stripper with a take-no-prisoners, raw survival instinct.
Our songs for this episode were provided by the PodSafe Network at music.podshow.com. Our featured song was Witches Burnin' from the album Ready to Kill by Face Down Presley, who you can find at myspace.com/facedownpresley. And, of course, our closing song is Horror Movie by The Kits. You can find The Kits at myspace.com/thekits. Want to let Twilight Blood know what you think of the show? Contact us by commenting on the site at twilightblood.com. Email us at twilightbloodpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave us a voicemail at 719-285-4718. That's it for this episode of Twilight Blood. Join us next week for more news that goes bump in the night and for a review of David Goyer's The Unborn and Jake's Wake, a new novel from John Skip and Cody Goodfellow. Thank you for giving us some of your time. This is John Moore for Twilight Blood saying, hasta la vista, baby.